The Public News Service Daily Newscast, January the 18th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Today is MLK Day, and folks in Michigan are not letting the pandemic stop observances honoring the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr.
Elaine Hardy with the Martin Luther King Jr. Commission of MidMichigan says in the wake of global outrage against racism, Dr. King's message of equality and justice is more important than ever. She notes that while King was a peaceful civil rights leader, he didn't sit quietly on the sidelines.
He really was an agitator, and he understood that he needed to remind America of the promise that she was to all people, but how that promise was denied for poor people and black people. And he did so very forcefully and with some very plain language.
Around the state, annual events, including performances and lectures, will be held virtually, while others, including volunteer projects, will be socially distanced. Hardy says the commission's honored to be hosting King's daughter, Dr. Bernice King, during its day of celebration, which will be broadcast on WILX TV 10 in Lansing and on social media at 7 p.m. Mary Sherman reporting.
And in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr.'s messages of equality and justice, Indiana's legal community is offering free legal counsel today to those in need. Kelsey Kotnick is with the Indiana State Bar Association.
There's so many Hoosiers who are needing help because of this pandemic has just made everything worse for so many people, and the entire Indiana legal system has kind of come together to make sure that Hoosiers can get the legal help that they need, but there's such a demand.
The Indiana Bar has hosted its Talk to a Lawyer Today program for nearly 20 years as an annual tribute to Dr. King. Meantime, the Maryland Justice Project and its partners are urging the General Assembly to override Governor Larry Hogan's veto of a bill to provide what they say is a desperately needed pre-release program to help women transition out of prison.
Despite having more than 800 women in prison, the state has 9 pre-release units for men, but none for women, according to Monica Cooper of the Maryland Justice Project. The state faces a budget shortfall because of COVID-19, but Cooper says lawmakers recognize the urgency in helping women get jobs and housing after their release. She is confident the override will pass and notes the original bill was approved with a 104-27 vote.
We already won this fight. We don't have to redo this battle. The only thing we have to do is to get those people to say yes again. They said yes before, and we need them to say yes again, and that's it.
Cooper says her group spearheaded the Gender Responsive Pre-Release Act in 2016. Governor Hogan cited COVID-19 budget constraints when he vetoed the bill in May. The General Assembly is expected to vote on an override this week. I'm Diane Bernard.
This is PNS. The Nevada Coalition Against the Death Penalty is urging state lawmakers there to use their 2021 session to end state-level executions.
And members of the U.S. House say they'll act to end the federal death penalty after 3 federal executions last week, all in Indiana, of Lisa Montgomery, Corey Johnson, and Dustin Higgs. Nevada still allows capital punishment, but hasn't carried out an execution since 2006. Father Chuck Durante of St. Thomas Aquinas Cathedral in Reno calls the practice, quote, barbaric, and says it wastes government resources. He adds, rarely does an execution truly provide closure for a victim's family.
We stand opposed to the death penalty for many, many reasons, the dignity of human life being the most obvious and primary, but the racial inequity, the economic inequity, the geographic inequity.
In the weeks leading up to their executions, Corey Johnson and Dustin Higgs both tested positive for COVID-19, and they weren't the only ones. Prisons across the country have been epicenters for the virus, with incarcerated people unable to take many key safety precautions. For Public News Service, I'm Lily Volke.
Nebraska lawmakers are considering a bill that aims to provide some relief for meat supply chains by allowing consumers to purchase smaller ownership shares of livestock.
Andrea Zeleny with the Oakland Meat Processing Plant says Legislative Bill 324 would help more Nebraskans who have struggled to find meat at grocery stores during the coronavirus pandemic access food from trusted local sources.
The people that aren't able to purchase a $700 quarter, being able to just get that piece of what they need, whether it be the roast, a couple of steaks, some hamburger, this is going to get you to your local farmer's freezer.
LB 324 is similar to steps taken by Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Oregon, and Wyoming to increase local meat processor capacity. I'm Eric Galatas.
Finally, Mike Moen tells us Minnesota's struggling to meet emission reductions goals set more than a decade ago, but the author of a new report issued today suggests a tool that could provide a boost that should be getting more attention.
The Nature Conservancy's findings say practices such as expanding forests while protecting prairies and wetlands across Minnesota would reduce carbon emissions by up to 26 million metric tons per year. The group Saatchi Graber says the very resources they're trying to protect can do much of the work themselves. For example, she cites tree planting in urban and rural areas.
They breathe in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen, the opposite of people, right? As that tree grows, but storing carbon in its trunk.
The authors say another key theme is more climate-friendly practices in agriculture to reduce harmful runoff and store carbon in the ground.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting your week with Public News Service. We are member and listener-supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.